Today's scripture is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own we have we given you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown, if I have not gotten to meet you yet. And I do have to preface this message by just saying I regret to inform you that this sermon will have significantly less costume changes than that announcement video. Just felt like I should have gotten the memo and lived up to that. That was pretty great. But today we are continuing our stewardship series called The Blessed Life, where we are looking at what makes a life worth living. And today we're going to talk about generosity. Yes, we're going to talk about money. Oh, I got a cheer. I did not expect a cheer. Yay, I'm excited too. It's great. But before we go into all of that, if we're going to talk about generosity, I want to share with you a story that I heard on NPR, because I love NPR, of course. So I heard this story on NPR, and it is about a barber in Los Angeles. But he runs a barbershop that is probably pretty different than any barbershop you have experienced. So I want to invite you to take a listen, take a look at a couple of the photos from this NPR StoryCorps story. Take a listen now.
And it's Friday morning, time again for StoryCorps. This project is recording conversations between friends, and today we're going to hear from two veterans. Anthony Bravo Esparza is known by his friends as Dreamer. From a trailer in the parking lot of the West Los Angeles Veterans Affairs campus, he offers free haircuts to fellow vets and a space to hang out. Last year, Paul Crowley went in for a haircut. Today, he's Dreamer's assistant.
When I showed up, I was washed.
Yeah, you've been drinking.
I was totally out of hope. And part of that was the way I looked. I hadn't shaved in a couple weeks. My hair was filthy and scraggly. But getting the haircut made me feel, for lack of a better word, normal, which I hadn't in a long, long time.
When I first ran into you, I saw a guy that could, at some point, rise above it. And I just felt that I can help you. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Never underestimate the power of a haircut." Of course, he never said that, but he should have said it.
I try and help you out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not cutting hair, but when I'm there at the trailer, I've watched the guy that just came right off the streets, not doing too well, and the only thing he has to pay you with is an orange.
Whatever you got, we'll make a deal. I got rubber band balls, I've got pebbles, rocks, washers.
I've never seen you turn anybody away. It's amazing to me to see the guys that come in the beginning, and then after they've been there a little while, they're going out to look for work.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk in with a suit and the haircut you had given them the day before, and you can't even recognize them compared to the day they walked in there. You impressed me from the very start, and I respect what you have imparted to me. It's what has made me into a better person because of my interaction with you.
Thank you, buddy. We're going to move forward. That's why we comb our hair backwards.
That's right.
Move forward, comb your hair backwards. I love it. Well, I love what he said in that clip. Never underestimate the power of a haircut. And yeah, no, Abraham Lincoln did not say that. But I think it is a really great way to frame this conversation today. Never underestimate something that we think would be pretty simple. And, you know, it's true that this is a pretty unique story to a barber, right? That's probably not most of our stories in this room, but I think if I was gonna make this applicable to each and every one of us, here's how I'd rephrase what he said. I would say never underestimate the power of a generous life. Never underestimate the power of a generous life. Because when you are living a life of generosity, when you are looking out for other people, when you're curious about what maybe God is calling you to give, that's going to naturally lead to this thing that we call a blessed life. You know, over the last few weeks, we really have been digging into what that idea of a blessed life could mean. In the first week, we looked at how we create a life that has deep meaning. Last week, we wondered what kind of life we could live to shape our future legacy. And today, what we're going to look at is how do we show up with a spirit that is generous, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstances. And so if we look at our scripture today from 1 Chronicles, we have this amazing statement made from King David. Now, David is saying this toward the end of his life. Some people think this is one of the last things that he said before he died. And he says it because he says, "This is how I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me as someone who is generous. I want you to remember me as someone who has been loved by God and lives in light of that love." And when I think about David, I think, okay, there's probably a lot of things we could remember David for. I mean, he was this great military commander. He had lots of victories on his scorecard. He probably had more money than he knew what to do with. Like, he was a very wealthy guy. And a lot of people think David was just really good looking. So I think he could have led with all of that. All of that is stuff that a lot of us hope for, we strive for, we want it in our own lives. But David says, all of that stuff, that's not it. That's not the thing I want you to remember me for. And so as his last act, he makes this commitment and this dedication, and he says, here's what I'm going to personally give so that my son Solomon can build this temple, this permanent place where we can worship God and have a worshiping home. And as I think about David's commitment here, I think, you know, that might have been kind of a bittersweet moment for him. Because there was a point in his life where David really hoped that would be him, where David really hoped that would be his story, that he would be the one to build this place for God and God's people. But now he's at the end of his life, and that's not going to be it. So that dream has to be put on a shelf. He has to look at what he can give and what he can leave for the next generation. And what I think is so amazing about David here is that instead of choosing disappointment, instead of holding on to all his stuff in that last moment and say, nope, this is mine, I earned it, I'm not going to give it away, I'm going to go down swinging, David says, I'm going to give it away, and I'm going to choose to be grateful. And so what David shows us here is that sometimes the truest moments of generosity that we experience come from a grateful heart. And I think part of David's ability to realize that he can have that gratitude just comes from his view about all of the things that he has. Again, this guy is not operating in a deficit, okay? He's got it. He's got the wins. He's got the money. He's got the good looks. He's got the fame. He's got all the stuff, but he has kind of a unique viewpoint on where that stuff comes from. He understands that all that stuff isn't about him. I want you to listen to what we heard Rachel read for us in verses 11 and 12. This is what David says. He says, "Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens, on the earth, is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as the head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is your hand to make great and give strength to all. I think the bottom line here is that all this stuff that David can give, all this stuff that the people that he leads can give, all the stuff that you and I can give, it's not really ours in the first place. It belongs to God. And so when we think about what it means to be generous, that kind of changes the way we view all the stuff that we have. Now, I want to be clear. I know that that is not how we always operate when it comes to money, right? It does not always feel like, okay, this is God's and we're just taking care of it. I mean, we work hard. We plan. We try to have good habits. We have stuff that we want to spend our money on. Frankly, we have stuff that we have to spend our money on. Like, I have not figured out how to get the bills to stop coming, right? They come month after month after month, and we just have to pay them. And so sometimes it can feel like, no, I did work for that. I do have responsibility. This is my money, and I'm going to do with it what I want to do. And that's why I think David's viewpoint here is so challenging and so helpful for us to hear. Because he's taking a different stance on this. He's saying, no, 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 I'm not going to hold tight to this. I'm going to hold it like this. And I'm going to see what I can do with what God has given me. You know, what David's actually doing here is he's going back to an old law. Now, this is a law that people back to who David was talking to, they would have been familiar with it. I'm going to about guarantee we're not familiar with it because it's from the book of Leviticus. And you might be here today thinking, oh my gosh, she is talking about money and Leviticus in the same sermon. Like, what is this place? What is this place that I've stumbled into? And that's fair. I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to ask you to hang with me because this is actually so good what's back here in Leviticus. I know, when did you hear someone say that last? I just love it. But if you go back to the time, back to this law in Leviticus, what's happening here is the people have this land. They finally have a home. Now, the people, they have waited for this home. If you know anything about the ancient Israelites and their story, they wandered the desert for an entire lifetime, okay? They waited, they worked, they earned it, and finally they were in this place and they're like, yes, we're settled. This is ours. And then God comes along and says, hey, 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 not so fast. I want you to shift your viewpoint. And here's what God says. God says, the land must not be permanently sold because the land is mine. You are just immigrants and foreign guests of mine. So God's saying here, you know, understand all the things that you have, whether it's your home, whether it's your treasures, whether it's whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. I want you to understand that all of that is really mine. What you have and how you live, it all comes from God. Everything comes from God, and we just get to borrow it. And you know, whatever we have, I think we need to be grateful for it. We need to take care of it. We need to be responsible for it. But maybe the most important thing is we need to be careful that we hold on tighter to the one who gives us those things than to the actual things that we've been given. That's where I think sometimes we can lose our way as we go through life, as we look at what we have and what we have to give. And I think if we can do that, if we can hold on tighter to God than our stuff, that changes the way we talk about this whole idea of stewardship at all. Because then it becomes a lot less about dollars and cents. It becomes less about that one time of year in church where we talk about our finances. It becomes less about what I want to do or what I really don't want to do. It becomes more about our relationship. It becomes more about how we're connected to God. It becomes about how God is working in our life and our world and how we get to be a part of that work. You know, I think it becomes a lot less about what we have to give, and it becomes a lot more about why we even do that giving in the first place. It makes me think about how when my kids were really little, Zach's mom would take them to a local high school to their holiday gift mart so that they could buy presents for us. Now, I want to paint the picture of the holiday gift mart and the quality of the gifts at the holiday gift mart. They're just like tables full of stuff that you buy online, right? And they're just little trinkets. I think I got a Slinky one year, which I really did need, you know. I got a green mug. I think we got a pair of socks. Zach's mom told me actually when her kids were little and she took them there to buy gifts for her and Zach's dad, her daughter bought her a mug that said, "I love Grandma." And I just thought every mom who hears that and be like, I mean, yeah, of course you do. We know. You love Grandma. Grandma's so fun. But I thought that was so great. And I remember getting these gifts and opening them on Christmas. And my kids were just so hyped up about it. They were like, "You have this Slinky. And I gave it to you." And it's not that they spent their own money on those gifts, because they didn't. It wasn't theirs. It's not that those gifts were very fancy or useful, because they weren't. But it was about the fact that they gave it from their heart. And they gave it because they loved us. And they gave it in a way that just exuded this joy. And that joy was really contagious to us. That joy made us happy on Christmas as we played with the Slinky that we had. And whenever we give, when we give with that kind of gratitude and openness, that changes things. It changes us. It changes our world. It changes the way we relate to God. And what it does is it helps our joy flow out into the world. It helps us create a story that is bigger than just you and me, that's bigger than what just happens in this building. It takes God's story and it gives it away again and again. You know, I think my very favorite part of this scripture is where David just outright says, "Who am I? Who are we that we get to give this generously to you, God?" I mean, there is this feeling that he has of just total awe. He's just amazed. Like, why am I the one who gets to show up and give this part of me? Why am I the one that gets to be this generous? And as I think about what David says there, it makes me think about us here at St. Luke's Midtown. It makes me think about us because you may or may not know, but 1 year ago, we hadn't even launched this campus. 1 year ago, we had a commitment Sunday, and this room was not even close to this full. There were like 75 of us and a few random people that found out that we were starting. I don't know how they found out, but we were so glad they were here. And we were just here, and we were waiting to launch on December 4th. We were praying that like anyone would show up that first day. We were just hoping that God would do something in this place. And sometimes I think, who am I to have had a front row seat to all of this? Who am I to get to see the way that God works? Like, it feels a little bit unfair to me because I know that I see things week after week that none of you get to see. And so, like Kylie promised, you're going to hear about 27 of these stories starting now. Because I want you to hear what God is doing here. I want you to hear the things that you might miss just coming and going that I have gotten to witness. And so one of the things I see is every single week, I watch people who did not know each other 365 days ago. I watch them stay after church in this room, catching up on life. And those of you that do it, I just want to tell you, never change. Never change with what I'm about to say. But I mean, they stay so long that I have to turn the lights out on them. And I love it, because a year ago, you all were strangers. And now you stay so late that I have to tell you to go get lunch. That's amazing. I watch people who told me, who looked me in the eye and said, "There is no way I am qualified to lead a group or a class. I haven't read the Bible enough. I'm not sure I like people." And I asked them and asked them and asked them, and they finally said yes. And I watch those people gather people week after week to create community. I have listened, even during this sermon today, to kids cheering and yelling downstairs. I have sat in here during worship and watched my own son do like little barrel rolls right there in the very front. And I've watched adults come around him and love him. And I know that has happened with some of your kids. And we have gotten the chance to put bread and cup in our kids' hands and say, kids, God loves you. I get to see that week after week. I have watched our students, our youth group, sit in beanbag chairs, play Nintendo Switch, make their youth leaders talk about Taylor Swift. Let's pray for the youth leaders. We love you. But I've also watched them develop deep community and have hard conversations and know that there are adults in their corner that love them and are rooting for them and know that God loves them too. I have watched our outreach team come into this place and say, okay, we've got some hopes and dreams, and I don't know what's going to happen next. And I've watched them take those hopes and dreams to be real partnerships in our community. I've been alongside of you as we have weeded gardens, as we have spread mulch, as we have dreamed about what affordable housing looks like in our community, and as we've asked God, what are you going to do in 2024? And how are we going to be part of it? I've looked at that art gallery out there. And every single month, there's a new artist. You know, some of those artists that come to our building, they've never even been in a church. They think a church would not welcome someone like me. But you do. You go up to them after service. You look them in the eye. You ask them about their story. You buy their art. I mean, that matters. That tells a different story than people have heard about church before. I watch how we drink coffee and eat donuts, and Lynn Gale puts on a donut costume to recruit volunteers. And yet I know under the donuts and coffee, you all understand what hospitality really means. You understand what welcome really means. You understand what it means for people to know that they can come to a place and someone will care that they're there. I watch that. And every single week, and this is not an exaggeration, every single week someone comes up to me and says, it's my first time here. And almost every time they tell me that, there's a story. There's a story about church hurt. There's a story that I didn't feel like I belonged in the place I came from. There's a story of, I don't even know what I think about this God thing. But something compelled me to try this one more time before I decided I was done with the whole thing. And every single week, I hear people say, this place is safe. I feel okay here. That's what I get to see. And I just think, God, who am I to get to see this? And whether you knew all of those stories that I told, whether you knew the fullness of what this church is about, here's what I want you to know. That happens because of you. You're the reason I'm telling those stories. Because you show up every week. Because you take the time to greet each other, even the introverts. I know, some of you don't like it. But the fact that you take the time to look someone in the eye and say hello, that matters. The fact that you show up and you give with your time and your money and your resources and your faith, that matters. You are the reason we are standing here almost a year after we launched with a community that looks nothing like I could have ever dreamed. It's because of you. And I am so grateful for that. You know, we're about to watch our year in review video because it's not just happening in this building. It's happening at our Midtown campus right here. It's happening at our North Indy campus. It's happening online. And we want you to understand just how God is moving in this place called St. Luke's. And as we show you the video, this is when you're going to have a chance to fill out your commitment card. Now, if you are new to church, or again, it feels very wary to see the words 2024 financial commitment at the top of a card, I get it. I get it. It feels a little weird. But I guess what I want to say about this commitment is this is a way for you to say, okay, I hear those stories. I'm excited about those stories. And I want more of those stories next year. I want to be a part of what God is doing here at St. Luke's Midtown, and I want to say that I'll keep being a part of it for the year to come. So you're going to get to hear these stories that we're about to share. Like I said, take some time, fill out your card, pray about what you'd like to give. And then when the video's done, I'll say a prayer for us, and the band will come up, they'll play a song, and during that song, you're welcome to come up and place your cards in the basket. Joe from our finance team is going to be up here. You might recognize him because he sings too. And he's going to give you one of our tumblers, which is, by the way, my favorite color. They didn't ask me, but I'm really appreciative that they chose this color. But it's just a little thank you gift to say thank you for being part of what God's doing. Thank you for your commitment. And if you are new here and you're like, I don't know, this is the part that makes me feel weird, it's cool. Just use that song to worship. Use that song to connect with God. That is a holy moment, too. But I want to invite you to check out the ways that God is working and just consider how you might be part of it in 2024.
Doing church is hard work. There is some level of pain involved in it, typically emotional, not physical, but difficult no less.
What does it look like for us to live as holistic disciples? As we continue to ask, it creates room in us to be open to the movement of God in our lives and in our church. Whatever comes, I won't complain. For all my hope
is in your name. And now your joy awaits my praise. It teaches us how to take a stand in the world today and how to stand up for others in problems in the community.
Over the years, I've come to know that at one time I used to go to church, and now I do church.
Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Find somewhere where we can feel accepted, where we walk in the door and we feel like we're wanted, and we want it to be a lot like we belong.
And that we just need to just go into, like they've said, just love. I think that's what God calls us to do. We've said that a lot, and that's the heart of the message. That's the heart of salvation. It's supposed to be just to love.
Going to run out of all of this stuff and all of this gifting and all of this grace. I've got enough for you to show up and make a difference as only you can.
I feel my destiny now is to deliver a message of anti-hate, of love.
I need to give Jesus a try. I'm going to do that. And right then, I had a warm feeling come in my heart, and it's been a magnificent ride ever since.
So they don't have to live their life in anger or fear. How do we move forward? We connect as community.
Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for everything you have done, for every story that we get to tell. Jesus, I know that you are working in ways that we don't even know, that we can't even anticipate or imagine. And God, it is with the deepest gratitude that we get to be part of what you're doing. So, Lord, as we make our commitments for the year ahead, I pray that we would give generously, but I also pray that we would give with an awful lot of hope and expectation for how you're going to show up. God, we get to be part of the way your Spirit moves. Remind us that this is work we do together and that this is work we do by your grace. So in Jesus' name, we give together now. Amen.